Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Insurance fraud costs consumers $80 billion each year, and sometimes the lives of innocent people who are victims of these frauds. Whether it's phony airbags or staged accidents, the costs are enormous. We're going to discuss these issues with Jim Quiggle. He's the director of communications with the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud. Jim, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Well, thank you, Shirley. It's always great to be here.
Now, you know, I'm a great supporter of your organization, and I think you all do a wonderful job. And I was pleased to read that the tolerance for insurance fraud has really kind of decreased, not as much as we would like, but it used to be that people seemed to think, huh, it's okay, it's an insurance company. I think you all have done a lot to change that idea among consumers because now they know how much it's costing them.
Well, thank you, Shirley. We work very hard at it. And the newest research really does suggest that perhaps the anti-fraud messages are getting through, the deterrent messages are getting through.
Mm-hmm.
The word from the latest research is that people are less tolerant of insurance fraud, especially padding auto claims, for example. Far fewer people want to say it's okay to pad insurance claims for their auto policies.
But, you know, so I don't think people think of it as being fraud, that they're committing a crime. I don't know. It used to be. And it's so refreshing to see people waking up to the enormous cost. I mean, $80 billion a year. And that, as you told me earlier, is a conservative figure.
Oh, yes, Shirley.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of the different types of insurance fraud. And I think one of the ones that scares me an awful lot are these staged accidents. Now, I know that there's something fun going on in Massachusetts about this issue. Then you and I've talked about this. Staged accidents is when someone deliberately hits you or causes you to hit them. And then they've got a bunch of people in the car and everybody has an insurance claim, right? And you describe it better. I'm sure you do a better job than I did.
Well, staged crashes come in many flavors. The one that your listeners should be most concerned about is people will deliberately maneuver you into an accident so they can make outrageous and completely bogus whiplash claims against your policy. It's a huge scam that's costing billions of dollars a year, but consumers have been killed in these crashes. And, they, of course, they're terrorized when these things do happen.
Well, you know, and also doctors and lawyers have been involved in these fraud rings, haven't they?
Well, they're
it's
really
a whole ring of people.
Well, doctors and lawyers are almost the tip of the spear. They're the ones who are micromanaging these scams.
Yes.
They're the ones that are organizing the fake injury claims and trying to sue insurance companies in order to extract large settlements for bogus injuries.
Mm, that is so awful. It just and the fear. I mean, the thought of it. You know, and I know that we've talked about some of the things that have gone on here in the District of Columbia and the surrounding areas. But tell us what's happening in Massachusetts, which I think this is so cool.
Well, Massachusetts is almost the poster child for how to undo stage accidents. Some years ago, stage crashes were absolutely rampant in several of the largest cities in Massachusetts. They were out of control and nobody was doing anything about it. So the Massachusetts Fraud Bureau and others got together. They formed these big task forces that were going to apply huge pressure directly on the rings in each of the target cities. Well, guess what? The pressures crushed these rings, crushed them so much that insurance companies were lowering their auto premiums for drivers in those cities by as much as several hundred dollars. What a great proof at how fraud fighting can save consumers money, often hundreds of dollars a year in auto premiums.
Well, and there's something about bumper cars. Tell me about bumper cars. I think of, you know, when you go out to the circus and you go ride, I mean, the fairs and you ride bumper cars. That's not what you're talking about, is it?
Oh, no. Bumper cars is when your car is bumped by another crook who's trying to maneuver you into a crash in order to make an outrageous, bogus,
right,
expensive
right,
whiplash
right.
claim.
And so it's interesting to see that the Massachusetts so many people got together and really stomped on this, and so consequently insurance rates go down. Now, is there any correlation about how much money they spent on putting this crime into a little bit lesser intrusion on our lives and versus what they're saving consumers?
Well, in terms of the return on investment, I haven't seen something specifically
about that. That's the way to put it. Thank you.
but there's a lot of evidence, anecdotal evidence, that the return on investment is very substantial. The little money that you spend on fraud fighting can save an insurance company literally hundreds of millions of dollars a year.
And, of course, if you save lives, that's priceless, and so consequently can't put a value on that, and that's something that I'm sure has been the result of the clamping down on these fraud perpetrators. What should we tell people who are drivers? They should have a camera. If they don't have a phone, a smartphone, they should carry a little camera in the glove compartment, right? A pencil and paper. What else?
Well, you should also be aware of the signs of a potential stage accident.
Okay, and they are.
Well, if it looks like a car is driving very, very slowly and trying to put too little space between it and you, there's a possibility that they're going to jam on the brakes and force a rear-end collision, which will automatically, by law, be your fault. But right. They're the ones who actually maneuvered you. Watch out and pull away if you can.
Okay. And then there's the people who they pull out of alleys in front of you.
Well, yeah, sometimes what they'll do, you call it flash for cash. You know, what they might do is they drive slowly in a parking lot, flash on their lights as if they're allowing you to pull out of your parking space. The moment you pull out, they speed up right into your path. You have a T-bone and two broken cars and a big claim.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Yeah, you know, it's amazing the lengths that people will go to defraud insurance companies. You know, we've talked in the past about people who sink their boats and, what was it, some guy buried his tractor in a farm. And, I mean, it's really astonishing, and I can sit here and laugh about it, but it's no laughing matter, not when you start looking at the costs in lives and in money. So it's really serious. What is your website, Jim, so people can go and get some of this wonderful information?
Yes, yeah, Shirley, your one-stop shopping for all the things you need to know about insurance fraud is insurancefraud.org. I'll repeat that, insurancefraud.org.
Yeah, and you all have a great website. You have the Hall of Shame, which I absolutely adore, where you pick out the worst fraudsters of the year. And, you know, sometimes you have to laugh at them, but honestly, it's serious business. I mean, they kill people for money, insurance, and so on. So anyway, well, let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned in to Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Jim Quiggle. He's the Director of Communications for the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud, and their website is insurancefraud.org. And I'll tell you, this nonprofit group does an outstanding job of identifying the issues. And over the years, Jim, you and I have talked many times about them. There are some encouraging signs. And then, of course, I'm sure technology helps the crooks. They seem to use it better than we do sometimes. But let's talk about some of the other issues. In addition, you all get involved in, for example, talking about art fraud. Now, that's one where I would think consumers are totally vulnerable unless you are really a knowledgeable art person. And do you see much of this happening? Are we likely to go out and go to an art gallery and find a fraud?
Well, there's no real statistics on this. It's a very esoteric form of scam. But you might have an art collector who has millions of dollars worth of paintings. The collector may sell them or hide them surreptitiously, lie that they were stolen in a burglary, and then collect millions of dollars in money while they still have the paintings under their own control.
Oh, God, isn't that awful? Well, I'm sure that a lot of us are not into buying expensive art, but it's something that if you are shopping for art, you really need to know what you're doing, and you really need to have the advice of an expert so that you don't end up getting taken. Let's talk about some of the things that are on the horizon that are causing concerns. And I know that one of the big issues is Obamacare, which I don't profess to understand. I don't think most people understand it. And consequently, I think when we're not very knowledgeable about something, we're extremely vulnerable to fraud. And I know that's a concern. You mentioned that in your last newsletter, your quarterly newsletter, that the Obamacare, there's just all kinds of potential for fraud there. Walk us through some of the concerns that you all have.
Well, there are a number of concerns, things that are happening now and scams that could happen once open enrollment begins on October 1. Right now.
Now, open enrollment, just define that for our listeners.
Well, this is when you can enroll for insurance, health insurance.
Okay.
Under health reform. This is the, okay. the open period.
This is
when
the
it
new
starts.
Program.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, 1 October, we're going to be enrolling in insurance.
Yes.
All right. Why does that create a problem?
Well, consumers are very confused right now about what health reform means to them. Crooks are exploiting that already by going door to door or cold calling people and lying that they're federal operatives who are here to sign people up for what they call Obamacare. And they say, gee, all you need to do is give us your bank account number, mm-hmm. your credit card, and your Social Security, and we will sign you up for Obamacare.
And they're probably going to give you a great deal on some sort of an insurance coverage, which is not going to be real, and you're not going to have insurance, and you're going to lose your money.
Well, the fact that the feds are not sending out operatives right now, nor is sign up for health care under ACA, the health reform law, being happening right now. It's just not happening.
But the crooks are going around knocking on doors and saying, I'm here to help you, right? Oh, shudder when that happens.
Well, the moment somebody knocks on your door and says they're here to sign you up for health insurance under the Affordable Care Act, it's automatically a lie because it's not happening. It won't happen until October.
Okay. So come October, then we have additional concerns because of the way that people are going to be signing up and what you referred to before we went on the air as the navigators. Explain that concept to me.
Well, navigators are going to be vital to the success of health reform and also to the success of people getting proper insurance. These are the people that are going into the communities on behalf of the state and or federal exchanges to help people sign up for insurance, to help them understand their options, to help them find tax credits, and to help explain what health reform is and answer all their questions.
How in the world can the government send people to every household? They can't.
Well, they're not going to try to send operatives to every household. One of the keys right now are uninsured people. That's one of the very important things that has to happen. Mm-hmm. Sign up the uninsured.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question is, how do you know that this navigator is real?
Right.
Or how do you know that?
How do you?
Well, that's going to be a huge communications effort needed by
wow.
all the exchanges to explain to the people who the navigators are, what their credentials look like, what they can and can't ask of you.
Mm-hmm.
Like mm-hmm. they're not going to ask for your credit card number.
Wow. Right. Well, you know, I remember when we used to have people who would claim particularly set themselves up as a company offering insurance coverage to businesses, to small businesses. And it would be very attractive to give health care to the small business employees. And so the business pays the premium, and then down the road somebody needs a claim, they file a claim. There's no insurance. This kind of thing could still happen, couldn't it?
Well, anything's possible right now. I mean, you're not required to sign up for health insurance. You will be penalized if you don't. But there's not a physical requirement that will send you to jail.
Okay. But I'm talking about businesses. There is going to be a mandate on businesses of a certain size to provide health coverage for their employees. Am I correct?
Yes. For 50 employees and above, yes.
And above. Okay. But a lot of smaller businesses want to provide health coverage to their employees as a benefit because they care about the people that work for them. And that's an area where I can see that the fraudsters are probably still going to have a field day in terms of saying, I'm giving you a great deal on policies for your employees.
Well,
I mean, haven't you seen that? Hasn't that been something that's been very prevalent in the past?
I mean, you can think of all kinds of interesting scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
What about a larger employer that hides employees in a shell company?
So they don't have to pay for them.
In order to be on record as having fewer employees. Now, do these people have coverage or not?
Right. Well, we have seen a move towards more part-time people, reducing people's hours to avoid the mandates of Obamacare. Anyway, it's going to be very interesting, but I think the message for our listeners, if someone comes to your door and is offering to sell you insurance right now, run. Slam the door, call the police because they're doing something bad. After 1 October, it's likely that people will be, in some cases, calling on people to, but you'd still need to check them out. Get a phone number. And call that number to make sure there's somebody there, wouldn't you say?
Well,
yes. Of course, they can set up a phony phone number, too.
Navigators are going to be all over the communities trying to help people understand what health reform is and help them get started.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to consider, is this person even a real navigator?
Right. You don't know.
Are the credentials forged and this person is just knocking on your door and lying that they're a navigator?
Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Jim Quiggle. He's the Director of Communications for the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud, and we're talking about the enormous cost of insurance fraud to consumers, something like $80 billion. That's B, not M, B, a B, $80 billion a year, and that's a conservative estimate. So it behooves all of us to look at the issues of insurance fraud. And when you were talking about this extraordinary program that Massachusetts did, putting together a task force that really clamped down on these fraud rings and staged accidents as well, they were able to reduce premiums, insurance premiums across the board, right?
Well, the Massachusetts experience is proof positive.
Right, it works.
That applied pressure can work and can save people money on their auto premiums.
I like that. I like saving money. You know me. I'm a good consumer, Jim. All right. What are some of the other areas? Now, we've talked in the past about airbag fraud. I think we need to talk about this a little bit because there seems to be an awful lot of people buying used cars these days. And I know at Call for Action, complaints about used cars is the largest category of complaints that we have. It's just we've been flooded with calls about used cars. And that's true across our Call for Action network. We were having a conference call the other day, and a lot of the directors were saying various cities. Our Kansas City director said they get tons of calls on used cars every single day. So it's an issue, but the bigger issue here is whether or not that car is being sold under false labels and whether or not it's insurable. What are some of the other concerns? Whether or not it's been in an accident?
Well, guess what? America is being targeted by crooks.
They can have phony airbags, I guess is what I'm getting to.
Well, not long ago, a Chinese national manufactured fake airbags and airbag covers in China, shipped them to the U.S. and tried to flood the U.S. market with bogus airbags.
Wow. Now, airbags, I gather, are kind of expensive to replace. So you might have a repair shop who's less than ethical buying these at a low price, and then, of course, charging the insurance company a high price for the airbag, and the poor consumer, it may cost their life.
Well, there is a black market for cheap and knockoff airbags, and a crooked body shop owner might very willingly and knowingly buy these bags for $40 or $50 a piece and put them in a car and then lie to the insurance company that they just replaced it with a real airbag, which is worth $1,000 or more.
Now, is there any way, I know that you can check accident records on cars. If you're buying a used car, how do you ensure, excuse me, I didn't mean to say that in a way, I wasn't trying to make a pun here. How do you assure the consumer that their used car, doesn't have fake airbags? Are there signs?
Well, you can never be 100% sure, but several things you can do. If you're buying a used car, hire an experienced airbag mechanic to inspect the car and see if the airbag is real and if there even is an airbag.
Gotcha. Well, you've talked to me about boards and stuff being put in airbags to give them weight, right? I mean, it can kill people.
Put tennis shoes and beer cans and cigarette cartons and all kinds of junk in there to leave the impression that this was a filled airbag cavity.
This is not supposed to be a garbage disposal. It's supposed to be something to protect us. So, yeah, that is a really scary thing. So I guess it behooves a consumer to, first off, have that vehicle examined very closely and have someone check it to see. You can't be, as you said, you can't be 100% certain, but I'm sure there are signs of whether or not, and whether or not it's been in an accident and the airbags deployed. That's also a big question.
Well, yes, you can always go to a commercial service that checks the background of cars, like Carfax.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And at least a service like that will increase the odds closer to your favor. It's never 100%, but your odds are getting better and better.
Yeah, that's true. Auto Check, I think, also is another one by Experian. They run a similar program. The reason I know is because we're always advising consumers to go somewhere to check out the vehicle, check the VIN number, check to see if it's been stolen or been a victim of, been in a flood, all of that sort of stuff. And of course, that impacts ultimately on their ability to get insurance on the vehicle and on the insurance company who's going to write the insurance on that. If the car has been damaged like that, it's going to be really tough. And you can hide it, unfortunately.
Well, guess what? If your car's been in a flood and it's salvaged and resold and you get into an accident and the airbag goes off, it's been shown that in some cases all the garbage that is in the water gets shoved into your face, these microparticles.
Oh, my God. That is an awful thought.
This is sewage and all whatever else goes into flood water.
Oh, good Lord. Oh, that's a terrible thought. Well, let's go back to the brighter picture, the insurance fraud, the tolerance for it. But is the incident of fraud decreasing?
Nobody knows for certain. There's some,
we just know it's still there and it's still a menace.
Some statistics suggest that there may be an increase in fraud in several different kinds of categories.
Mm-hmm.
But they're only indicators. But anytime you have a down economy, there's a chance that you have more consumers trying to rip off their insurance companies to bail themselves out.
Oh, yeah. It's just, you know, it's a vicious cycle, isn't it? At any rate, and remember now, to get information on various kinds of insurance fraud, go to insurancefraud.org. In insurance, we're talking about cars, health insurance, we're talking about anything, home insurance, yachts, like the guy who's sinking his boat. Oh, yes. We just have a minute. Is there an outrageous example of fraud that comes to your mind?
Well, you know, you can really tug on your heartstrings when you think of husbands who shoot their wives for life insurance money, or mothers who have killed their children for life insurance
money. Life insurance. That's
when you almost want to cry.
Oh, my goodness. And you hope that you can lock them up and throw away the key. That is so absolutely awful. Well, as usual, Jim, it's been very interesting talking with you. And just a warning to people, just be aware that fraud can happen. Don't be a participant in it. And particularly the staged accidents, people really do. I do tell people to carry, if they don't, you have a smartphone, to put a camera in their glove compartment, just a little bitty camera, and take pictures of everything. I'm a great believer in having a record. So at any rate, thank you so much, Jim. My guest has been Jim Quiggle of the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud. You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest right here in Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Shirley Rooker. Thank you.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.